We're nearly a month into 2025, and there's a sense of optimism that the global and South African economies are on the right track. There are notable improvements at Eskom and Transnet, and we recently celebrated 300 days without load shedding. Inflation figures for South Africa are dropping, and that points to further interest rate cuts through the year. The property market is recovering, and the prospects for an early removal from the grey list are promising. So there's a lot of blue sky ahead, and to discuss that further, we're joined now by Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Hi, Adrian. Happy New Year to you, and thanks again for your time. As usual at this time of year, can we reflect briefly on what happened in 2024 and what you expect in 2025?
Hi, Kieran, and hello to the listeners as well. You know, it's been an eventful period. I think, you know, if you look back at interest rates, I think that was probably the key thing, both locally and abroad, how the various policymakers have tried to address inflation and, you know, looking forward, trying to see how they can either sustain growth or, in our case, trying to promote better growth numbers. Bond markets were the highlight, I think, for South African investors from a South African bond perspective. On the other end of that spectrum, US bonds have been quite weak. But then again, the US equities have done remarkably well, even from the high valuation basis that they were on at the start of last year. But South African equities, although they lagged US counterparts, have done reasonably well as well, given where the GNU landed. So I think that was good. Other positives, property did really well, best performing asset class last year, really propelled higher by lower interest rates, higher long bond yields, and then from the property yields have come down and capital values have appreciated. So everything said and done, I think a reasonably well-diversified portfolio would have done really well. You know, we often see investors benchmark portfolios against the S&P 500. I think that's a really tall order and a bit lofty in expectations. And also, I think things are due for a change on that front. The market has been very strong for a prolonged period of time, and valuations have just kept on extending further and further. On the other side, although we've seen a re-rating in South African asset classes as prices have moved higher, I still think there's still some good scope there for South African assets to do well. But it's certainly not just contained to South African assets. In fact, if we look at where asset classes and valuations stand at the moment, across the spectrum, assets look good. Cash rates are typically higher than their long-term averages. So too bond yields across corporate and government bonds. Listed property yields are higher than the historic norms, and equity yields in South Africa, but also outside of South African borders, also still yielding ahead of what they would historically yield. I think the only blemish would be US assets. I think there's plenty of concerns going around, and there has been for some time, about US concentration risk in the stock market with the Mag 7, and then obviously valuations getting further and further expensive. And obviously, a lot of talk at the moment around the US debt ceiling and the implication for their ability to raise additional funding if they need to. The associated high interest cost, given where bond yields are at the moment, and the extent of the debt that they have. So I think as strong as what the US has been, I think that would really be my only strong concern, given the importance of the US in the broader world economy, and then they still make out a significant portion of global GDP. And also, if you look at the market caps of the broader indices, like the World Index, they still a significant portion of that. But I think it's definitely Looking quite positive. There's plenty of opportunities around. And generally, although inflation fears have sparked up in the US, interest rates are still likely to come down, albeit at a much slower pace than what was maybe expected 6 months ago. And in South Africa, I think the inflation story is quite positive. I mean, we're now at the lower end of the inflation target range of the 3.6. We're just slightly higher than the 3%. So I think there's a lot of ammunition for the MPC to try and promote economic growth. And that's at the same time where sentiment seems to be improving, not just on emerging markets, but on South Africa even more so.
Let's look at economic growth prospects. There's a lot of positive news in what you're saying. I mentioned in the beginning the turnaround at Eskom and Transnet. That's very good for the South African economy. What's your take on this?
Yeah, no, I think there's some positive developments. I mean, things aren't healthy by any stretch of the imagination just yet. But that being said, we're in a much better position than what we could have been, and things are moving in the right direction. I think Eskom is far less of a worry than what it was maybe 12 months ago. I think, the typical man on the street wouldn't have believed that we would see so many consecutive days without load shedding as we have. And at the same time, Transnet seems to be a lot better managed. They have far clearer plans in terms of what they want to achieve and how they're going to address their issues. And it looks like they're making incremental progress on those matters. So I think a big thing that has historically kept our valuation so low was the fact that these poor sentiment factors kept weighing on investors' minds. Very difficult to enter a country from abroad if there's things like rail and electricity and corruption, issues as broad and as extensive as what they were just a couple of years ago. I think obviously there's still some of those issues around, but I think what everybody typically looks for is some tangible evidence that you're making some headway on those challenges. And from there, the value unlock will come. And I think we've seen that. There's always some legislation that's floating around that has investors concerned. I think that's fairly normal. But I think the fact that we do have a GNU, a far more balanced government in terms of decision making, there seems to be far more or far better the rationality in the conversation. So it's one thing to have intent and focus on specific outcomes, but you also need to focus on the consequences of things and the long-term consequences in particular. And I think that has started to feature more heavily in the debate, which is extremely positive. And I think that's starting to encourage investors to look at South Africa again. And we have seen some flows come into our markets again, and we can just see how quickly capital can impact our markets given the depressed levels of valuation levels.
Adrian, let's talk about the risks. You've mentioned a couple. Investors aren't going to be interested in a country that can't keep the lights on and where you can't get product to the port because of rail inefficiencies. What if things don't pan out the way we expect?
Well, it's a tricky one because in a certain way, I think, if growth slows, it's typically seen as a bad thing. Especially US growth slows, that would be seen as a bad thing. For us, it would actually be a positive from a portfolio perspective because we underweight there, and that would mean that we're doing relatively well to competitors if that's the scenario. So obviously growth that slows in itself is a bad thing, but it would be good for our portfolio. So from a positioning perspective, our risk is that if the US has robust growth going forward, I mean, we had a discussion last year as to why we think that's unlikely, given that the cracks that we start to see appearing in the fiscus, but also in terms of corporates and consumers. You can definitely see some pressure coming through. There was a long period where higher interest rates didn't really have a significant impact on those three different entities. But now we definitely start to see a impact. The bankruptcy numbers, something that we keep a close eye on, those have been continuing to move on. U.S. debt numbers, the debt cost is exceptionally high, and the even bigger concern is that quite a bit of the U.S. debt that were issued at funding rates of 5 years ago, where interest rates were extremely low, will have to be refinanced at much higher bond rates, the prevailing ones in markets now. So it's set to continue unless they can bring interest rates down rapidly. But now inflation concerns have picked up again. So it's going to be interesting to see how the interest rate conversation continues in the US. I think Trump is going to advocate for lower rates, and that's aligned with what he did in his previous term. And I don't think the authorities and policymakers really have that luxury to aggressively cut. So I would expect some tension between the presidency and the Fed over the coming months, which is also going to be interesting. Other risks, I think China is one of those that you feel can surprise quite positively on the upside given the valuations, but they can just as easily spiral down much further. I mean, there are some very material fragilities in the system that they're struggling with in terms of the real estate market, which is a super important driver in that space of the world. And in Europe, I think things are going to incrementally start to improve, and there are some cheaper and better quality investment opportunities, but it feels quite similar to where South Africa was a few years back, where investors are not necessarily looking at the valuation. They're more concerned about the risk. So from a growth perspective, a really mixed picture. And South Africa is not dissimilar to that. I think there were some very low base effects in the system, still some lingering around. I mean, if you think about the impact that the instability of electricity had on our growth numbers, the impact that Transnet constraint had on our GDP numbers, and those are still now off that higher base improving, off that lower base, apologies, improving. So there is definitely a chance that we could surprise to the upside, especially if inflation continues to come down. Because remember, we report GDP numbers net of inflation. So if we've got growth ticking up in nominal terms and inflation coming down, we could have some positive results. That being said, many of the plans are still on paper, and we need to see some tangible evidence that these additional plans are also going to be implemented, because that's what's going to push up into the next leg of more sustained growth. So we're still in that recovery phase, and it is a fragile recovery. And there's good arguments to be made for why it could be sustained, but also for why it's very risky bet to be overly assertive in that space.
Finally, Adrian, how does one position yourself in your portfolio, given all of this and the potential risks, but also the upside, both overseas and locally?
Yeah, I think for our portfolio, I mean, we remain concerned about the dollar. I think the dollar is not reflecting the challenges that they face fiscally. And I think that's something that markets will have to grapple with in the coming months. That being said, I think it will pay to be positive in 2025. You know, as I say, many of the asset classes are yielding currently well above their long-term norms. And I think the trap for investors would probably be a fear of a US recession and a sell-off in the S&P, which will be negative for the global environment, both economically and from a markets perspective. But I think it's important to keep in mind that if you've got a quality asset that you stay invested in, and there is a sell-off that's artificially driven by what's happening in global markets, just sentiment that's turning, that's actually a positive thing, because it provides you with the opportunity to buy that quality asset and top up at even lower levels. So I think even if we have a flattish to positive markets, that will be obviously good. If we have negative markets, it will set us up for for better long-term results. The key thing here is that we generally don't sit in a market where asset classes are expensive. So I think it will pay to be positive over the long term. And the old cliche of diversifying, I think that's really important. You can hear there's some fairly important things where the outcomes are quite uncertain and they could pivot into the extremes. So either extremely negative or extremely positive, if you think of the China example, for example, or even in South Africa. So diversification will help, but I also think investors will have to also be in a mindset where they are tactical in their views. So don't be too afraid to go into those uncomfortable areas that you think are attractive. The odds are probably in your favor for that kind of thing. Don't diversify yourself into areas to shield too much or excessively and be underweight things that will offer you long-term value. So I think it's a delicate balance between, yes, diversification is good, but you don't want lazy assets in the portfolio. You still want to be outperforming over the longer term.
We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much, Adrian. That was Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth.